This was a bad moment. In the crowd, I was thinking, I think this is the first pastor's conference I've been to that I'm the oldest preacher. I think I am the oldest here, so not the oldest in the room, but the oldest preacher. So I guess we're getting old. It's been a wonderful privilege to share office space with Pastor Turner, Pastor Ravert, and the Anchor Baptist Church for so many years, and it's just great. And I tell a lot of people, I said, in all of these years, there's never been a time where I've been angry with Pastor Turner. And I think there's been a few times he might be angry with me, but he's been such a blessing and encouragement. And you know, some people think, yeah, they probably fellowship just a ton. He's really busy, and I'm really busy. I wish we did more of it. Our wives, as couples, we've gone out, I think, two or three times in 20 years for a meal. And hopefully at this stage we can do that more. I would love to do it more. But it's just been awesome. It's just been awesome working together and helping one another. And my wife's added it to her prayer list recently that I wouldn't be a long-winded preacher. So, and she gets her prayers answered. So, so I really have to work on today's sermon. I think it was Brother Wadley Brother Rice probably. He said, "Did your wife write your sermon?" And I said, my wife said, "If she wrote my sermons, they would be half as long and twice as many jokes." So, but anyways, you know, I'd like every year for the last 5 or 6 years, we've had the privilege to go to Calgary, and that's where we've become friends with Brother Rice. Pastor Jason Bucher hosts a couples retreat, and they keep having us back to speak. And it's not because we're very good speakers. It's because we air all our dirty laundry in hopes that you won't have the same dirty laundry that we have. And so it was nice to get up and speak last year, and we could be really positive because we had some really good years. We had some really rough times around year 20 of marriage, but God brought us, God fathered us through it. And now we share what we learned. And I'm hoping my children can avoid some of the mistakes we made as a young couple. And that's my hope for Christians. One verse that encouraged us through difficulties was John 10, verse 10, where it says that Jesus wants us to have abundant life. And there were a few times through that stage of our marriage where we'd look at each other and go, "This ain't abundant. This ain't abundant the way it is right now." But, I got to, at next couple's retreat, I'm going to share your marriage advice to look at your wife and say, "Boy, baby, you are political." I can't stop laughing about that. That's funny. Oh, that is so funny. But oh, I want to share testimony. I want to share testimony. 3.5 years ago, Pastor Mark Smith traveled to Metro Baptist Church, and he preached a sermon on John chapter 14, verse 12. Brother Ehler preached that verse already. But it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Pastor Smith told testimony of being up on a hill overlooking Tacoma early in his ministry and being overwhelmed with, God, how am I going to reach Tacoma? And God whispered to his heart, I want you to reach the world. And if you want to, Brother Smith is a good talker. If you want a good conversation, call him someday and say, Pastor Smith, tell us how Faith Baptist in Tacoma is reaching the world. And it's just amazing testimonies of what this, it's a good-sized church, not a mega church, but how they're impacting the world. Well, one of the things that has been in my heart for probably a decade is sharing salvation stories. And 8 years ago, we spent $12,000 and printed, I think, 20,000 of these booklets. I only have two souvenirs left, so you get your hands off of them, okay? I'm not giving this away. But we shared testimonies of a dear lady named Chun about how she got saved in Maryland, grew up in communist China, and a story about Shanann Cody, who was saved in the Sudan. He was a Muslim man. Two mothers, grew up as a rancher in the deserts of Sudan. It's a beautiful story. Kim Kennedy grew up in eastern BC and how she came to Jesus. And then Rebecca Hu, another Chinese lady, how she came to faith in Christ. And then Brother Julius Provito, he was a wild-looking Filipino sailor. He was a fighter, a boxer. But he came to Jesus while he was working on a ship in the harbor of Dubai. It's a beautiful story. Then my daughter grew up in a Christian home and how she came to know Jesus. And then Brother John, he became a Christian while studying for his doctor's degree in microbiology at the University of Maryland. Powerful stories. And I believe they touch our multicultural community. The world has come to Canada. And what a privilege it is to be here. And so at that conference, God put a thought in my heart that I want us to be able to reach people in their language. I only know English, and I don't know it very well. And I'm not gifted at any other language. But I want to share the gospel in other languages. So this idea, for several years, we've been having an evangelistic street campaign for 3 to 4 days with evangelist Jacob Giesbrick, a dear friend of mine. And we would work the streets around Metrotown and pass out gospel tracts. And God laid this idea after that missions conference on my heart about a website that could share the gospel in other languages. And I wanted to tie it to the street evangelism so that when we're passing out the tracts on the street, it would point people to the website. So I found a college student with some graphic design work, and she helped come up with a logo that looked decent. And then I went to Texas to see my second grandbaby. It was March 13th. I was coming home probably around March 20th. I was walking up the aisle of the aircraft, a flight to Calgary, when someone tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, it was Brother Jacob. And we talked the whole trip about this idea of a website. And he helped me. And I felt that was a sovereign appointment on that airplane. It was totally unplanned. They were coming back from Mexico. And so over the next, that was like the end of March, beginning of April. So we had April and May, and the outreach was June 24th and 25th. June 24th and 25th. Anyways, that's an inside joke. I don't know any other languages. I have absolutely very little computer skills or anything. And I reached out to friends, and they produced gospel presentations. And they go from really good to really bad. But in my estimation, like, I need it. We have Punjabi speakers and Hindi speakers in our city, and I don't know any Punjabi or Hindi Christian. So I got this BIMI missionary to find me someone in India. And so if you go to the Understand John 3:16 YouTube page, you've got this Indian man in his kitchen, low lighting, fan blowing in the background, him sharing the gospel in Punjabi and Hindi. But you know, my heart was, listen, if I encounter a Hindi person, that presentation is going to be a whole lot better than what I can come up with. And the Hindi one ranks number 4 on the YouTube channel with over 2,000 views. The Tagalog one was well produced by Brother Abaka from Prince Albert. There has been 29,000 views of the Tagalog gospel presentation. And then I think number 2 is Spanish. And we have a passionate missionary in Nicaragua, Brother Portillo, who did a presentation. It's not really good quality, but he loves souls. And there's been thousands of views on that. And then I got Brother Levier, one of the best radio voices in the world. And he did the French one. And so, but really, that was the beginning and end of my technical abilities. And so there's been over 40,000 views of those videos, and we know nothing about generating traffic on the internet. We know nothing about that. We know very little about tracking converts. But I heard a story this morning. Dennis told me a story. This is an amazing story. And it makes me so excited that Pastor Stone has the vision to give John and Romans to every Canadian. I'm so thankful there's a guy in America that gave $200,000 to match an offering, because it costs $400,000 to get the Bible to every home in British Columbia. Isn't that exciting? But Dennis was at a low point in his life, moved to BC, moved into a house. The previous tenants or owners left a Bible in the trash can. And he was at a low point in his life, and he said, "I believe in you, God, and if you're real, will you teach me?" And he read the Bible, started in the Bible in Genesis, and when he got to Romans, he said he asked Jesus to save him. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now, he was an Anglican boy. He went back to the Anglican church. This is a great truth that's really resonating in my heart in recent years. God doesn't need us. If we're humble, we may be privileged to work with God. But God didn't need us to reach Dennis. He was jobless. He went back to Sault Ste. Marie. And he told his family at a family dinner, "I don't have a job. I need a job." His mother or grandmother called somebody they knew in Pickle Lake, Ontario. "Is there any jobs up there?" And then he went there, and there was a good independent Baptist church, and he was discipled. Is that the story in a nutshell? Isn't that an amazing story? I was blessed last night. Brother Josh Smith told of a man that got saved, that called him last week and said, "Pastor, will you meet with me? I want to know more about God." He's been working with that man for 4 years. A single father of 3 teenagers. Now there's a story. That's an exciting story. That's an awesome story. And so, Understand John 3:16 was born. But really, it stayed the same for several years. No resources, no ability in this pastor. But then COVID hit. And the last few years, we've had a wonderful young college student that's worked as an intern and does an excellent job on everything we do. But usually it's like camps and vacation, Bible school, all this sort of thing. So what do you do with an intern and nothing to do? I said, Tiffany, I keep getting this thing on my Facebook page. It's called Doodly. And you can tell a story and write a picture. And I want you to learn how to do that. And I want you to take our John 3:16 Bible study, and I want you to make a script, and I want you to learn how to animate, and I want you to make a video. So that is what happened during COVID-19. That was a COVID blessing. So we came into last fall. Tiffany went back to school, and John 3:16 just went from chugging along really fast to going. And it dawned on me at that moment, if God wants to use this as a tool to reach the world, I need money. I need money because I need to hire people to take these stories and to take the gospel message, take discipleship truth, and package it, and then push it on the internet, all outside of my ability. And so I got tentative approval from BIMI to raise money for a special project. But the guy in charge there, he kept asking me questions I couldn't answer. Like, how are you going to follow up on contacts? How are you going to get the local church involved in this? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And we took this Bible study, and a guy in our church donated about 300 hours of time to make a YouTube version of me teaching this. Now, he was green and I was green, and it turned out green. But it was a work of our heart. It was a work of our soul. So we came to missions conference this last year. Now, folks, we have great givers in our church, but over the last decade, my stance as a pastor is we're going to have one missionary at the conference, and we're going to take that missionary on, and we're going to keep supporting the missionaries we have. About 6 or 7 years ago, we had to drop several missionaries because we didn't have enough money to go around. This year we were meeting undercover in our learning center in New West, but Pastor Hallmark came and preached our missions conference. We showed Dr. Halsey's Faith Promise teaching leading up to the conference, and my son has really helped our church focus on prayer. He's joined the church staff. And last summer during COVID, him and his wife put this sheet together. It took Pastor Smith's sermon, and it put it on paper so that our people could visualize it. And I really believe the works of Christ are summarized in Luke 4, to preach the gospel to the poor. So we needed a ministry headquarters. God gave us a temporary one for 6 months, and then Pastor Turner was gracious enough to say, sure, you can move in with us. We were paying about $3,500 a month down the road, and it's $750 here, so do the math. But thank you, Pastor Turner. And we began praying to make a global impact with Understand John 3:16. We still have yet to do anything for this next one, but we're praying about it. Establish ministries to the poor locally and globally. God, help us do greater works. We'd also like to establish a counseling center. I really believe that there's no depression or problem that God can't help a Christian through. But we need confident Christians that can use the Word of God to guide people. Provide parenting and marriage enrichment classes. We want to see broken hearts healed and people set at liberty. And then preach deliverance to the captives. Launch an addiction recovery ministry. This is totally outside of what we can do, but we rejoice in what God's doing at Anchor and the commitment it's taking people at Anchor to start this ministry. It is not for the faint-hearted. And I'm hoping when they're all trained that we'll have some people in our church that would like to be trained and could be involved in reaching people that are broken. Preach recovering of the sight to the blind. Our heart's desire is to start a learning center for children. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we're praying for God to do greater works. Miss Tiffany just graduated from UBC. Next month she'll be finished her teaching certificate. She wrote a very sober letter to our church and emailed it yesterday or 2 days ago about her experiencing in the teacher program at UBC and the full force indoctrination of young people in all things evil. But this is a greater work that God has to do. You know what excites me? Anchor Baptist Church gave $25,000 to give the gospel to every home in Burnaby. That's amazing. $400,000 to give the gospel to every home in British Columbia. And we're praying that God would understand John 3:16 to reach the globe. My life has been touched by an online ministry. I can't give it my full recommendation, but I find myself at times being really challenged and encouraged by a ministry. It's not of our stripe. Has anybody ever seen a Bible Project video? Okay. Someone told me that there's 40 or 50 full-time staff producing that content. And their main goal is not evangelism. Our goal is evangelism and discipleship and helping the local church. So we come to our missions conference, and I'm still thinking, we got to raise money for John 3:16, but I don't know what I'm doing. At the missions conference, we had a $50,000 increase in our missions promise. 2 weeks after missions conference, my son Austin, he looks at me and says, "Dad, you're really good at one thing." I said, "What's that, Austin?" "Spending money." Because within 2 weeks of mission, or maybe 1 month of missions conference, we had spent $60,000. You say, "It hasn't come in yet." I know, it's COVID-19. You just, I'm following Trudeau's example, just spend. Anyway, but no, not really. I really believe it's going to come in. It's coming in. But with that investment, I was able to hire a young man. Some of you may have seen him working in the office. He grew up in our church, trained as an animator, and he's come on board. And we hired a consultant from the United States. That's $20,000 for the year. There's a lot of work in it. And then every time I talked to the consultant, he said, "Buy this camera, buy this, buy this, buy this." It's like all the church credit cards were maxed out. We spent so much money that month. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then we're launching the new website with some new content this July 29th, 30, and 31. And this year, I want to hire someone for a couple weeks to manage email, because this year we're actually going to track, we're going to have landing pages on the content, and we're hoping to harvest interested souls. And then the area churches that are involved in this outreach, if it's closest to Pastor Turner's neighborhood, or if it's closest to Pastor White's neighborhood, then we will funnel those contacts to that local church. We hope that it will be blessed abundantly, because we'd like to take this. Mark Alcock reached out. He didn't know all of this new stuff was happening. He wants to do it in Toronto. And I'm hoping that we can take it to New York City and Los Angeles and all the big cities, and maybe London, England, who knows? And get local churches involved in evangelism. But the literature will point to a powerful tool, internet videos. That's the vision in a nutshell. And then translating all of these things into the multiplicity of languages. Do you see where the resources could be unlimited? We can never be done this job. And we've hired a competent consultant, and hence this book. Now, younger pastors, I want to caution you. When I was a young pastor, I thought the key to success in ministry is being cool, or having a better website, or advertising in a real cool way. And along the line, I realized coolness isn't going to reach people with the gospel. The gospel is going to reach people with the gospel. And that's where I want the emphasis. However, when this consultant looked at our Bible study video, he looked at it for 30 seconds and he said, that'll never work. He said, people watch what is quality, and based on the quality, they judge whether you are saying to them is really important. Now, that doesn't mean God can't use the Bible in the garbage can, or God can't use a low-grade quality. God is the God of miracles. But what we're hoping to do is have a consistent quality of content that we can multiply on the internet. And that's what we need resources for. And I would just like to challenge you men to take, especially the front two pages of this, I would like to ask you to pray about an offering for the outreach at the end of the month. The consultant would like to do some Facebook advertising and some other type of advertising to drive traffic during those 3 days. And if you're in the area and want to come, every hour on the streets of Vancouver near SkyTrains, you pass out about 100 pieces of literature. So we've done as many as 28 or 7,000 in 3 days. That means we had 270 volunteer hours. 1 year, I want to see us having, 1,000 volunteer hours, and we can do 100,000. And nobody gets killed. Like, nobody overdoes it. But if everybody does something, we can get a lot of gospel out in 3 days. And then the website, it lives 365 all over the globe. And our consultant has, he has knowledge so that how we can affect different parts of the world. So it's a big vision, but we need resources. Maybe you would consider supporting the John 3:16 story. We've changed the name, the John3:16story.com, as a monthly mission project. And that money will go towards hiring the staff necessary to do this in a professional way. That is, Pastor Turner, I got to preach at, okay? I shared that. I gave every pastor, and please take no offense, others, I brought a gift for a pastor. It's in an envelope. In that envelope, there are two books that are a gift. One of them is called Fathered by God. And the other book is The Tale of Three Kings. And they've greatly impacted my life this year. The Tale of Three Kings rescued my life. about 20 years ago. It was a great encouragement to me. But the audiobook is absolutely amazing. I know you'll enjoy it. I just want you to turn to Hebrews 12. I think the video testimony is the launch pad for this. Pastor Turner, I'm going to be done at 12:15. Okay? I get special bonus points for my wife if I'm done then. And I think you'll still be my friend if I'm done then. I noticed 12:30 was the close, so I'm going to shut up by 12:15. Hebrews chapter 12. So listen fast. John 1:12, when you receive Christ, you become a son of God. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in my heart, and since that day, I've had a close and intimate Father. I have a Father that I can talk to every moment of every day about the deepest needs of my heart. And, you know, the song Brother Ravert was about a faithful Father and King. Great, great song choice. It goes right with the message. As a child and teen, my relationship with my earthly father was not intimate and close. My first memories of my dad were not until I was around 8 years old when I spent Christmas with his family. I did not have the privilege to live with my dad till I was 11 years old. My dad left my mom when I was 2 years old. I'm so glad he didn't take me with him, or I would have never known my mother and her side of the family. Growing up with my mom wasn't always easy because she suffered from bipolar disorder. But I wouldn't trade the memories of her love and care for me when she was healthy. Spending those years with my mom gives me compassion and empathy for my dad and anyone who lives with someone suffering with mental illness. Living with someone with bipolar disorder can be like living on an emotional roller coaster. When I was a little boy, living with my mom was 6 months of normalcy, followed by 3 to 6 weeks of craziness, then 4 months of normalcy, followed by 3 to 6 weeks of craziness. About 6 years ago, my dad and I went on a road trip from Ontario to Nova Scotia for the annual pastors' conference. And we stopped in Pembroke, Ontario, and I saw the home we lived in when I was born. And during that trip, my dad and I shared sometimes funny, sometimes heart-wrenching stories of my mom's bipolar episodes. I truly admire my dad for staying with my mom as long as he did. He was a lost man. He was a military man. And some of his stories would curl your hair. And I can empathize about why he escaped. But I truly believe if my dad had already been a Christian, the outcome of his marriage to my mom would have been different. Although my relationship with dad was broken in so many ways because of his absence from my life, I'm so glad that when I was 11, God moved my dad to London, Ontario, care of the Canadian military. My life with my mom at the time was at a climax of instability. And my dad rescued me at a desperate time. In a sense, that was the salvation of my childhood. There were things that my dad gave me that my mom and grandparents could have never given me. Dad brought stability. Dad brought discipline. Now, he never spanked me, but there was just authority and discipline in the home. Dad brought toughening up. Dad brought a work ethic. Young boys, you're 14, right? You got a job yet?
No.
You need to be begging him for a job in the next couple years. You got to get one. Don't let him be lazy. I'm sure you won't, because you're not.
Teach him how to climb trees.
Brother Allen's part monkey. Anyway, no, he is a licensed arborist, right? Amen, amen. Plus part monkey, right? Dad brought courage, allowing risks. I still remember when he bought me a motorcycle. When I live with my mom, I also live with my grandmother. And my grandmother, if you looked up worry wart in the dictionary, you would find her picture. She worried to this degree. When we were on deputation, we stopped to see my grandmother. And Adriana was a little baby. And she knew we were going to Toronto. And she said, Russell, when you get on the 401, if a big truck is behind you, pull over and let the big truck go by. That is my grandma. Have you ever seen an old lady driving in a car, the steering wheel's here and she's here? That was my grandma. I don't know what I would have turned out like if I had finished my development in that home. But my dad gave us a motorbike. And it was so fun to tell her about that motorbike. I'd never heard, and every time we'd have a child, we'd let my grandma know, and every time she became more and more worried, like we're having too many kids. So when Tyler, our baby, was like 5 or 6 years old, we played an April Fool's joke on my grandma. We even got her to swear. I'd never heard her swear before. We got her on the phone on speakerphone, and we told her we were having another baby, and she was not thrilled about that. But that was where I grew up. But I'm so glad my dad rescued me from there, or I would have never taken a risk. Then Dad and my stepmom got saved when I was in grade 8, and I have precious memories of them reading the Bible together, church becoming the center point of our life. My parents encouraging me to follow the Lord, and now they have the most beautiful, loving marriage I could ever imagine. One of the things that drove us to Christ was they were at each other's throats, not physically, but verbally. And they had begun expressing this in the home. We need to go to church. And that's when Pastor Unger knocked on our door. But they're the sweetest couple now. In January, my son-in-law David mentioned to me an audiobook he enjoyed entitled Fathered by God. Listening to this book caused me to reflect on my childhood, how I was fathered and how I fathered my children. And most of all, it caused me to rejoice in how God has fathered me. As this book began impacting my heart, my pastor's heart began thinking of the men my age in the church and how they were fathered and what good and bad baggage they've carried through life because of it. I thought of young men in our church who are growing into amazing men despite father hurts that they have had. I thought of young fathers in Metro and their opportunity to father their children. I thought of the next generation of Metro dads and the great opportunity they have to father their children well. And I thought, with the probing work of the Holy Spirit, wrongs from the past can be forgiven, relationships can be strengthened, and the deep ache that many men have in their hearts because their father was lacking can be filled to overflowing by our God, who is a perfect father. There is no such thing as a perfect earthly father. When I listened to Fathered by God, it awakened my heart to things that were missing from my childhood that every child deeply longs for. But it also reminded me of how Jesus has filled every one of those aching desires in my heart to overflowing. What did I miss as a child? And Christian young people, all in kids, you've got a great dad. Smith kids, you've got a great dad. Raver kids, I work with your dad. You got a great dad. Turner kids, you know you got a great dad. You got so much to be thankful for. And guess what? I believe the Malazzo kids, you guys have great potential to impact the next generation. If we were going to take the percentage of the world, children, I believe the kids in this room are in the top 1% of being blessed. Pastors, don't ever tolerate from your kids, "It's so hard being a preacher's kid. I got all these problems." You got it good. You got it good. What else didn't I? Okay. So I didn't have an intimate relationship with my dad. I couldn't talk to him about the deep needs of my heart. I didn't have anybody to guide me through puberty and sexual awakening. Fathers, help your boys through those periods. And I didn't have the model of a Christian home. The premise of the book, Fathered by God, is that when a man becomes God's son, God guides that man through the stages of masculine initiation. He takes that man wherever he is at, and with whatever deficiency he has, and God fathers him and guides him through the stages of the masculine journey. As I listened and reflected, my heart rejoiced in my Heavenly Father's love for me and his chastening and guiding hand in my life. My heart was reminded of Hebrews chapter 12 and God's loving, fathering, chastening hand. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 5 and 6. "And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Look at verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I used to view Hebrews chapter 12 as a chapter I didn't want to go to. Now, the Independent Baptist movement has a lot of good things about it, but one of the things that's not so good about our movement is the idea of performing a list makes you spiritual. And I had the idea, if you go to church 3 times a week, read your Bible every day, pray every day, tithe, and go soul winning, you do those 5 things, you can avoid the chastening hand of God. Because God doesn't chasten people that are, you know, doing those things. But we miss the whole point. The Father chastens us not to perform a list. He chastens us to become more like him. And chastening is a beautiful thing. And folks, chastening isn't beating you with a lead club. But chastening is to correct you so that you can enjoy the abundant life that God wants you to have. And when I look back on my life, I see that my God fathered me through my daily devotions, through sermons, through loving Christian examples, like the Bartz family. I rode to school every day at the Christian school. I saw them have family devotions. It was my first image of a Christian home. And then when I moved out west, I would spend the night at Eric and Debbie Mitchell's house. I was just a teenager. And they loved each other. It was another picture of what a Christian... God fathered me that way. He fathered me through pastors. I had the unique privilege of having like 7 pastors six pastors in the first 8 years of my life, a Christian life. because my dad was in the military and I went off to college and all of this. God can work through your... Now, God can even work through a bad pastor, I want to say. But I want to say that the majority of pastors are awesome. When I reflect on the pastors of my life, they're beautiful people that want Jesus to make them more like Jesus. But there are some bad apples. And it's sometimes painful. He fathered me through loyal and courageous friends. He fathered me through dishonest, backstabbing relationships. He fathered me through a providential appointment on deputation with Pastor Scott Wendell. He fathered me through marital problems. He fathered me through the loving rebuke of my best friend, Lisa. Pastor's wives, one of the best things you can say to your husband, you are sinning. I wouldn't do that every day. But there came a point in our marriage when those are the words I needed to hear. He fathered me through the trials of cancer. He fathered me through church problems and difficulties. He's fathered me through the problems of some of my church people. I've had the privilege of going with some of my church people to a Christian counselor. And the counselor is counseling my church person. And I'm behind the church person going, I need it, I need it, I need it. One of our young men was depressed, severely depressed. I said, I don't know how to help you, but we got to get you some help. And I did his homework, and I came out of depression. He has fathered me through the books of God-loving and God-fearing men and women. Fathered by God describes the stages. It's not a perfect book, but it gives hope. Where fathers may have failed us in this journey, our Heavenly Father will never fail us. The writer, using the life of David and Jesus and other characters from literature, describes the stages of the beloved son, the cowboy stage, the warrior stage. And folks, I was listening to the warrior stage. Brother Ravert and I were painting. And I'm thinking about 35 million Canadians afraid of a virus. And I believe some Canadians have a legitimate right to be afraid because of maybe underlying health conditions or aging parents, someone that's compromised around them. And my heart breaks for them. And we need to respect that brokenness. But when I was listening to that, I think, we need warriors who are courageous in our country. It talked about the lover stage and the king stage. And folk, pastors, there's two books. When you get to the king chapter, it's an hour-long chapter. After that chapter, if you can listen to the tale of three kings. And don't do it when you're in a hurry. Do it when you're in the bush, Brother Rice. Do it when you're on a long drive by yourself. Do it when you can just meditate. The books go together well. And I believe they're tools that will challenge our hearts as pastors. God gives a dominion to every man. Everybody has a sphere of influence. How are you going to use that influence? And I believe these tools will be a help to you. Pastors, I hope you will engage with the Lord in some deep reflection about how you were fathered, how you have fathered your children, and how you have in the past and are currently pastoring your people, and how the Heavenly Father has deeply loved and perfectly fathered you. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. I was sitting with another man in our church with a Christian counselor, and he was talking about anger in the family. And God convicted my heart. And I wrote this letter to my son. My son's 25, dating a young woman from Pastor Allen's church. Thanks to, if you're listening, Pastor Stone, to Be Harmony. Amen. Dear Austin, I wanted to write on your wall and wish you a very happy birthday. I'm so proud of you. You're one of the bravest and most generous people I know. I admire how you have walked by faith through the valleys of life when things were dark and confusing. As I watch you falling in love and spending inordinate amounts of time with one Brienne Noor, I know it won't be long before you make a new home. So I'm going to cherish the last 4 years we've had together and every day going forward. I hope we can do lots of golf, frisbee golf, and maybe some fishing this summer. God convicted me during a counseling session yesterday. Anyways, please forgive me for all my unkind tones, looks, and words through the years. Expressions of anger and unkindness are never justified. I think I've lived a lot of my life justifying an aggravated spirit and its unkind expressions. I believe there have been countless times that I've wounded you. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry for the wounds that I've caused. I realize that I don't have to go on this way being unkind and then blaming that unkindness on others. I believe gentleness can become the normal response to the aggravations of life, whatever or whoever the cause. I am Christ's slave, and I have no right to get angry. Thank you for forgiving me so often through the years. But by God's grace and through Christ's power, things will be different, I promise. Austin, I love and admire you. Happy 25th birthday. You're getting wiser and wiser every day. You're ready to marry. And Brienne is one blessed young lady. Don't despise the chastening hand of the Lord. For some reason, we come out of Bible school with our Bible under our arm, and we go into our communities thinking that we need to make people like us. And that's the last thing Burnaby needed. We take the Bible under our arm, and we go into communities, and we want to point people to Jesus so Jesus can make us like him. And pastors, pull down the shade. No, lift up the shade on your life. And show your people where God is changing you. And that will inspire them to let God change them.